welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire podcast is being recorded and aired for March the 8th, 2026. And I got a great question here. I really do. I have people that I've had for years. I have different kinds of people. Some hover around me as former students. Oh, they really never were students. I don't really believe I have students. I really don't. I have attendees. I have people who are curious, but they're not really interested in doing anything substantial with their life because they're indoctrinated in culture, society, and their human body, which does not welcome an authentic spiritual practice because it requires discipline. And discipline is this: not doing those things that hurt me and hurt you, not doing those things. And what does that mean? Well, you know, it can mean not smoking or drinking, but more importantly, even than those things, that's one, you know, avenue of it. The other thing is what hurts me is to ignore my life, ignore the quality of my inner being and the quality of what it means to live in a, shall we say, more simplistic life. A life that is worth living, as I like to call it. I did a whole series of TV programs on that, A Life Worth Living, and you may want to look at it. Anyway, this is from Gwen, and she was with me in when I was teaching formally in San Diego, and she says, "Many years ago, you asked me, why are you you? Why are you a you?" Then she says, "Do you have any answers for me, Gwen?" Well, Gwen, it's a question you need to answer for me. I can't answer that for you. That is something you have to take a look at and ask yourself, why are you you? People don't sit back and observe. You have to learn how to observe. That's what makes this question so very, very powerful. Why are you a you? What makes up the you of you? I think if you will see it, if you will start to look at it, not analyze it, because if you analyze it, you'll bring in some kind of crazy into your life, a perspective, a concept, a precept. You'll bring in all sorts of things that have nothing to do with the meaning of the answer. So here is what I'd like you to think about. What is it about you that makes you? How do you know you're being a you, whatever that is, a Gwen? How do you know? And what does that mean? Where did you learn to be Gwen? Where did you learn to live your life as a Gwendolyn, as it were? You have to look at it, not from the point of view of shame or blame, but to look at it like, yeah, what was it? What was it that made the Gwen in me possible? In my case, the Gregory in me that made him possible. These are personas. And where did we get these personas? How did these personas manifest? What were they all about? Well, when you start to really look at it, you'll see, well, most people will say it had to do with what my parents taught me. And that might be true to a certain degree. That might be very true. But there's more to it than just that. Your parents didn't do anything you didn't cooperate with. Even if you didn't like what they were doing, you have your parents' DNA, their genetics involved in you. And those genetics supply you with all sorts of beliefs and thoughts and impulses that turn into beliefs and thoughts and make up the idea of what you're capable of. When I was a kid, I would sit for long time. And I would worry about why I couldn't think the way other people thought. I worried about, I guess, my sanity. I was about 8 years old when all this started to happen. And I wasn't interested at, I mean, I could play baseball, but I wasn't really interested in it. I could enjoy being a kid playing with, you know, baseball cards or any kind of collectible. I would like that. But that wasn't my gig. That really wasn't. I didn't know what my gig was. I didn't know Gregory at all. And I kept asking, who is this Gregory? Why am I a Gregory? And then I would watch as my parents urged me to do certain things, say certain things, not say certain things. And then the persona started to come out. And I didn't recognize this until I was in my late teens, early 20s, that I really wasn't being me, whatever that is. And then I started to wonder what me is. I went to seminary, I went to college, I got, you know, the usual degrees and stuff, but that didn't matter at all. But when I went to India, that's when it mattered. I started to watch people there who had no me. They had no interest in the persona of themselves. They weren't interested in upping their persona. They weren't interested in any of that. They weren't interested in their relevance to society. They were interested in life itself. The big L, not the little L. I had never seen this before. So, Gwen, when you ask me, do I have any answers? The question is, do you, after all the years you were attending my discourses in San Diego and Escondido, did you get anything? Did anything ever sink in? Remember the one I used to say, if you were as interested and as tolerant towards yourself as you are towards not being interested or tolerating yourself, you might have a change in your life. You have to really want love more than wanting what you think is love. And you really have to work on yourself. You have to not allow the mind to impulse you to believe or think anything. It's very, very important you understand that. If you were as interested in this practice of letting go of mind, even body, as you are in allowing your mind and your body to dictate the terms of your life, you'd be awakened by now. But most people aren't. They are only interested in the superficial. So Gwen, after all these years, maybe I should be asking you, what happened? Have you any insight into the way, the manner of the way that lives within you? Have you had any chance to really feel the beauty of the light that lives within you? Are you still plugging along, dragging Gwendolyn along, and thinking that you have to do that in order to maybe change her? You're not going to change her. We don't change the persona of us, the personality, never. The best we can do is learn to understand its place in our ego, in our pride, as our vanity, and allow it to sit there without us condemning it or condoning it. To let love live you rather than whatever it is that is your ideal of living. And everybody has an ideal of living, what they want life to be, not what life really is, but how they want life to be. And in that wanting, that whole idea of I want to be successful, I want to be comfortable, I want, and then the spiritual people like to think I want to be at peace or anything like that. But you've got to make effort towards these things. And they don't come easy and they don't come naturally. It's all a matter of how you want to live in this beautiful thing called love through consciousness. And love is a matter of consciousness. That's really what it is. But we push that aside. So my question comes back to you. Have you done it yet? Are you there yet? Are you still interested? What happened? Anyway, think about it. Thank you all for listening. I look forward to your questions. If you have any, you can always reach me at greg@aspire.org. I'd love to hear from you. Have a beautiful weekend, and as always, please forgive me. Namaste.